Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. The EU prides itself on being a global innovator in artificial intelligence regulation. Indeed, last August the 1st saw a historic moment as the world's first comprehensive legislation on AI started coming into force. Now, as of February the 2nd of this year, some of the landmark AI Act's most crucial provisions have come into effect, those that have to do with preventing unacceptable risk, such as social scoring or scraping the internet for the purposes of facial recognition. Also this month, Paris hosted a global AI action summit. But for the EU, artificial intelligence is not just something to regulate. It also wants to use AI to sharpen its own global competitiveness vis-à-vis China and the United States. According to the Draghi report on the future of the EU's competitiveness, Europe attracts only 6% of global funding for AI startups, compared to 61% in the US and 17% in China. Closing the innovation gap is going to be a key issue, and that's not easy at a time when Donald Trump has just signed an executive order revoking policies on responsible AI usage in the US. The American president saying he wants to eliminate harmful barriers to AI innovation. Well, there's a lot to unpack here with my two MEPs. Eva Meidel is a Bulgarian EPP MEP, and she was one of the committee rapporteurs for the EU's AI Act. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
And also pleased to have here Alexandra Geyser, a German Green MEP and the digital expert for the Greens here, and she helped to negotiate the Digital Services Act, which regulates digital platforms and social networks. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
So, Eva Meidel, first of all, how would you assess the rollout of this AI Act now? As I said, it's been August, so just a bit over 6 months now.
Well, we're in the early stages of the implementation of the AI Act. As you've mentioned, some important provisions just came into force. Therefore, I would like us to take a couple of months before we do and have any conclusions. I would like to ask for a little bit of patience. The AI office was just set up a couple of months ago. It needs time to start its operation, its work. Of course, we as a parliament have been very vocal in what our expectations are, and they are to provide very clear guidelines for the implementation of the AI Act to AI companies. So I would like to see agility in the coming months from the AI office. I would like to make sure that it interacts with member states, because after all, some of the provisions will be implemented and will be assessed on a national basis.
Okay, agility is a key word I want to come back to, but just to have your overall impressions, Alexandra Geyser, on how this act has gone so far, do you think?
Well, I think it is very important that we have this act, that we do protect our citizens and that we can create trust for AI applications. You mentioned scraping images, for example, which is now banned. Just to give an example to the audience what that means, before it meant if a man took a picture of me as a woman in the street, he could then very easily find out all my social media interaction, probably my home address, and every woman knows that's a very serious risk. And this is a risk that the EU has now banned. What is important now is that we are very strict on as far as the very problematic applications of AI is concerned, and very flexible and open towards especially startups and small and medium enterprises that do want to use artificial intelligence for very good uses in Europe, and those we need to encourage to keep this added value in Europe.
Yeah, let's go back to this question of high-risk usage and applications, because we now do have some startups and small companies in Europe saying that actually there's more high-risk than what the European Commission had originally thought there would be. That could create a barrier to innovation because people are not going to invest in things that are high-risk. It's a sort of fluid idea, isn't it, Eva, which is complicated.
It is very complicated, and one of the reasons why I spoke earlier of agility is because this technology is developing at a lightning speed. I don't think there's anyone that could say we know exactly what's happening. There's so many developments that are basically happening on a daily basis. The technological revolution is, you know, almost weekly. We do not know what to expect in a couple of weeks from now. And the reason why I mention this is because your question has two aspects. One is about the safety and protection of our citizens, and these are some of the provisions that enter into force, and Alexandra just spoke about them. They're needed, and I think we better have to explain to citizens and companies why. We live in Europe. It's the European way of life. We want to protect citizens, but in the same time, we are not China. So we are not allowing social scoring. This is Europe and not China, and this is the difference that this act makes, I believe. On your second point, when it comes to enabling innovation, I think there we need to focus on two things. The first one is that it is not just about investments and money. Those are needed. But most importantly, where Europe can have added value is in the adoption. It is in the way we can apply those new technologies to our traditional industries. You gave some data points in the beginning. There's another important data point, and this is that only 13% of European businesses have embed AI into their operations. I think there is a long way to go to improve that.
Just on China, though, because I think that's obviously an important part of the discussion, Alexandra, the issue is that China can produce these AI models more cheaply than Europe. So what does that mean in the long term, do you think?
Well, I think my first reaction was this is extremely encouraging, because that means that the model that we know from the US with huge investment in terms of really funds is not the only one. There is the Chinese model as well. So what we should focus on, and here I disagree with my colleague, is really producing artificial intelligence in Europe. And I think this shows, because we could come up with the next model that is produced with a lot less funds, with a lot, and that is a lot more efficient also in terms of energy consumption. We know that the US produced models have huge issues in terms of energy consumption and would compete with our industries for energy. So I think what we should do is not so much focus on adoption of foreign technology, because that is the case right now. We should focus a lot more on fostering an environment and creating the hard digital infrastructure that allows our companies, small and medium companies, but also the big ones, to produce their own AIs. And that means investing a lot more, for example, in data centers, in undersea cables, in connectivity, to make Europe the continent where it's worth investing, because we need to attract this investment and we need to convince European investors to invest in European industry and also in AI industry.
Yeah, infrastructure is key. I want to go back to the point about Donald Trump that I made at the beginning, Eva Meidel, because in theory, the EU and the US have a common interest in countering China technologically, except that Donald Trump, as I said, has just deregulated AI. So he's kind of reversing the provisions of the Biden administration. That's going to create a problem for Europe, I guess.
I just, first of all, want to set the record straight. Over the past 10 years, I have been working in making sure that Europe develops, that Europe innovates. But there have been certain impediments. And my example, we're making sure that we adopt AI, is not linked to adopting foreign technology necessarily. I don't think we need to be prescriptive. But while making sure that we develop AI models, and by the way, DeepSeek just shows that there's a democratization in a way of AI. It shows that with much less, you can develop. And I think this is good news for Europe. However, we need to further analyze to make sure that the data that's out there is correct.
And regulate, I guess, because there is a probe into DeepSeek in Italy, for example, at the moment.
Yes, but Italy did the same with OpenAI, by the way, probably for different reasons, but they were the first to react. And this is why I think going forward, the EU AI office should also be thinking of how to react on this sort of developments. And this is why I said we also need to be patient. It's a newly set up entity. On your question, when it comes to AI regulation, there's always been different approaches in the way Europe and other democratic nations approach technologies and the way we regulate. I think going forward, more and more nations will understand that technologies need trust. And if you do not have trust in those technologies, it will be very difficult to make sure that citizens feel comfortable using them or businesses. So ideally going forward, at some point, we would be able to agree on certain standards among democratic allies. Of course, that looks way more difficult today than it looked a couple of months ago. However, my personal feeling is that in the next couple of months or few years, there could be a certain major event happening that involves new technologies or AI that would make more nations aware of the necessity to put some boundaries. And a quick example, let's say, if you work in a hospital and you want to even have a certain AI tool that would help patients, if you want to introduce it, you want to have some sort of rules and guidelines. You don't want that there is no rules and no guidelines. How about if you're the patient? That goes for the patient as well. Would feel much more secured and protected and would trust the technology more if there's certain threshold that this technology has to reach. And I believe the providers as well. After all, technology can only flourish if there's trust.
Just one final element, Alexandra, because we're running out of time. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of these broader issues of democracy. We've been talking a lot about Elon Musk recently in Europe and what role AI could play in shaping people's opinions on social media or even election interference.
Well, AI is unfortunately already playing a role in there. We know that there are a lot of bot systems, bot networks on the internet. We know that algorithmic amplification, so algorithms who decide which opinions, whose opinions is heard because they're sending out their content to a lot more people than others, and that is already influencing our elections. And we know that these algorithms, which are artificial intelligence systems, decide to amplify angry and extremist views a lot more than anything else. So I think this is very dangerous, but this is regulated with the Digital Services Act, and there we need to make sure that it's not Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg to decide what people see on their timelines, but that it really users can make their own choices. This is what we advocate for, and I think this is what the European Commission now needs to enforce.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to both of you, Ava Modell and Alexandra Geyser. Thanks for watching us on this debate here on Talking Europe.